Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This is The Rich Eisen Show. Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Ryan Fitzpatrick should be in the Hall of Fame.
Frank Gore should not be in the Hall of Fame. But Ryan Fitzpatrick should be in the Hall of Fame.
You cannot tell the story of the NFL without Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Earlier on the show, co-host of Good Morning Football, Peter Schrager, Lakers head coach Frank Vogel, actor Ashton Kutcher, coming up, co-host of Pardon the Interruption, Michael Wilbon. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All righty, everybody. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. We just had a great chat with Ashton Kutcher, TJ Jefferson's friend, strolling down Punked Memory Lane. It hit MTV's television sets for the first time 18 years ago today. And we learned a couple things about TJ Jefferson strolling down the memory lane right there. One, he was the producer on the set the day that they punked The Rock. Did you know that, Chris?
I didn't know that about TJ. Do remember that episode, and The Rock was very close to killing everyone.
They finally broke the bit. TJ Jefferson, you were the first one to
kind of had to approach him.
Had to approach The Rock because you said he was cooking pretty much.
But he was mad cool when it was done.
And then we found out that when TJ was friends with Ashton Kutcher and roommates and things of that way back in the day, and they went to Australia. TJ Jefferson was thrown out of the club, accused of selling Altoids to people. they thought he was peddling Altoids, and then there was actually something harder than just fresh breath mints.
Yeah,
they are curiously strong.
They very much so.
Hey,
that bouncer looked at me like, "What is this?
What is this?" El Segundo.
That's Anthony Anderson talking about TJ Jefferson. I mean, my gosh.
And you guys know the funny thing, he brought up A-Rod, that punked.
That never aired.
That was the only punked episode I was ever in. I was in that episode.
Oh, and he hits the cutting room
floor. And he wouldn't sign. And I can remember watching, I mean, literally, when he said tapes, there were still videotapes. I can remember looking at the lawyer in the back pulling the tape out.
I saw my Emmy hopes gone.
Because
the tapes, the recordings captured him talking about a trade or some sort of acquisition or you know what he was talking about.
I was at the table next to him. Yeah, I know what he was talking. I might save that for my next book. I don't know.
Book two.
But yeah, I was in there and I, you know.
And he's like punked. Oh, and then he knew it was caught on tape. And he's just like, that's never airing. Well, I guess there's nothing to sign to air if they're actually destroying the tapes in front of you.
No tapes.
Oh, man.
But yeah, that was the one punk that I had lines. I was in it. I was a restaurant patron, and no one ever will see it.
Well, as we pointed out, he's a diehard, lifelong Bears fan. And I asked him if he thought he was like the rest of the Bears fan base, feeling like they've been punked by the Trubisky era winding up with a quarterback competition involving Andy Dalton and Nick Foles due to the signing of Andy Dalton. And he was very positive about it, saying that they need to protect anybody that's behind there. They didn't have the IP, to use the phrase. They didn't have the IP to go get Russell Wilson. They didn't have any of that intellectual property and draft choices and players and whatever they could get together to go get Russell Wilson. They couldn't protect him anyway, and he just, why don't you go protect Andy Dalton? Let's go to work. Very positive approach to it. Let's just say when Michael Wilbon calls in 17 minutes, we'll get the flip side to that. We'll get the B side.
Or
that's the A side. It seems, I think it's actually Ashton's got the B side approach to it than anybody else. This is the A side.
Wilbon on PTI yesterday just went off.
You know, I think if it's the A side, the title of the album is WTF, and then in parentheses, the Bears are doing.
That's right.
Or are the Bears doing? That's in parentheses. WTF! Exclamation point. It's been quite a day. Quite a day. 844-204-RICH number to dial. Let's take a phone call and then we'll get your news update. How's that sound? And then we'll get to Michael Wilbon and then we'll have a fun finish to the show as always. All right, let's go to our phone lines. Been waiting for a long time. Jeff in Detroit. How you been, Jeff? Hope you're enjoying what you've been hearing, hanging on for as long as you did.
Oh my God, TJ is like the most interesting guy in the world.
He is.
I'm gonna tell you what's gonna happen next. Bruce Willis is gonna call in and talk about how TJ saved him. How did TJ save their party up in the Himalayas with a Buff Skaggs reading or something? Like, I mean, this guy is remarkable.
Well done,
from
Jeff.
Coast to coast,
I agree.
TJ is the man.
He is.
Listen, Rich, I got a question for you.
Yes.
We all know pretty much Aaron Rodgers, top of the NFC North. Who's after that? I mean, it's going to be a battle for second place, and who do you see coming out?
Well, I mean, obviously Minnesota's got the possibility. I mean, in the same way that I had mentioned at the top of the show that Andy Dalton deserves the blessing of the football gods to have something, you know, generationally life-changing happen to him, just like it's happened to Nick Foles and others, you could easily make the case that Kirk Cousins falls in that category as well. I mean, he's made his money, and he's one of the nicest humans you'll ever come across on the planet. And if he finally could turn around and say, you know, take that, everybody, you like that, and that's no longer used ironically against him, but it's actually his mantra and his anthem, he's got that ability. We were talking the other day, too, Jeff, because I know you're a regular consumer of this show, is who's got the best big three in football? And by that, I mean quarterback, running back, and wide receiver tandem. You know, Dalvin Cook and the rookie Justin Jefferson are two of the best at their positions in terms of upside and in terms of what they just posted on the field in 2020. The weak link in that is Cousins, you know?
Yes.
And the rulers of that roost is the team that sits atop the NFC North and in Rodgers, Jones, and Devontae Adams in Green Bay. So there's that.
Most definitely. I got another question for you real quick.
Yes.
Do you remember an episode of South Park called Chef Aid, where all of the celebrities talked about how Chef furthered their career and helped them out along the way?
Okay, I don't remember that, but go for it.
It was an episode of South Park, old episode. And every time it was Chef Aid, and they were trying to get Johnny Cochran to represent Chef. So all of these celebrities come out of the woodwork and start telling stories like Elton John talked about how he told me to just be myself, and all of a sudden here I am, Elton John, singing for Chef A. For some reason, this is so reminiscent of Chef A, because TJ, you are the man.
Very good.
My man, Jeff.
There you go. Jeff in Detroit, everybody. One of our favorites. Chef Day. Every day is Chef Aid. I see what you're saying. Chef Aid. Every day is Chef Aid around here with you. Maybe we should have a new segment once a week. What's in TJ's history, you know?
I don't think what's that would in TJ's be that fault? Interesting.
No, it would be TJ's corner. There you are. You're sitting in a corner.
I am in the corner.
Well, we have put you in a corner. But it's a great
spot.
They say
you don't put baby in the corner.
Yeah, I know, but this baby's is a great spot for you because not only are you next to our guest board, but you also have...
We're socially distanced.
We could see that you have... Yes, we have been, yeah. And we could also see you've unloaded stuff that normally would probably be cluttering your house that you brought here.
Yeah.
So there you have it.
And my closets are empty now because it's all out here.
Okay, Christopher, you ready for your news update? Let's get a news update from Christopher Brockman.
Let's go.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
All right, Christopher, what do you have over there?
All right, let's spin around the NFL really quick. Dan Patrick, our buddy this morning, reported that the Bears offered 3 first-round picks, a third-round pick, and 2 unnamed starters for Russell Wilson.
Yeah, that's not enough.
But Seattle said pound sound. Not
of
enough?
Course, of course it's not enough.
6 players?
Yeah, but it sounds like a lot, right?
And it
sounds like...
I mean, it is a lot.
It is a lot for a team not to choose first round for 3 straight years. If you're Seattle, what does that give you? That gives you what? A shot at the second, third best player at certain positions for the next 3 years. It gives you shot at the top quarterbacks in the league
well,
for the next
true.
2 years.
You have now those three first-round draft picks to move up to try to get one of the guys in this draft. And you do what you did
but
before
you
than what you had
first,
with Russell Wilson to win
have,
a Super Bowl.
You don't have it for – so it would replenish your – it doesn't give them multiple ones this year or next year. It just replenishes the ones that they gave up for Jamal Adams.
Well, it gets them out of Russell Wilson's contract, and now they can move up to do what they did the first time around with
and start,
win a Super Bowl in those first 4 years.
And start who, Geno Smith? For Pete Carroll, 69?
Start the kid, whoever you draft.
For what kid are you going to draft? What kid are you going to draft?
What do you mean? You could take all this loot you get from Chicago and take Trey Lance. You could move up and take Zach Wilson. You could take one of these kids.
How do you get to 2 from the Jets? With what? With the 20th overall selection?
With 3 first-round picks that you get from Chicago.
Yeah, but they don't have one, Chris. You understand?
They have all of the Bears' picks now.
Yeah, but it's just one pick. If you're the Jets, we'll take 20th overall for Trey Lance.
You take the future picks you just acquired.
But hear me out, Chris. The Bears have the 20th overall pick. The Seahawks have no first-round draft choices. Now they've got the 20th. That's what you're going to the Jets for Zach Wilson with? Or no, next year's 21st or 25th overall pick, whatever the Bears are going to be worth, that one, plus they don't have one next year either. They're
you're
just
assuming
using,
the Bears are going to be good.
So what I'm saying Russell is what wasn't good enough to get Russell Wilson, you're saying is good enough to go get Wilson?
I'm saying it's good enough to move up to in the top 10.
It's not even – you can't – it's not like they've got two, then we'll give you both first-rounders this year and then one next year, whatever's highest. It doesn't work. That's where the Bears never had the connective tissue to go get – like what the Jets could – even if Seattle is maybe interested in Sam Darnold, the New York Daily News said, even though that article quoted one unnamed source saying that Pete likes the guy. Right. And then one paragraph in the New York Daily News story was – Pete Carroll used to coach at USC. Sam Darnold played at USC, so they have that connection. Even though Pete was long gone before Sam Darnold even hit high school, before USC offered him. You know what I mean? And Pete's the guy that had that went and took Earl Thomas over the name of Don Bowie, you'll know, though.
Taylor Mays.
Taylor Mays. Yeah. Taylor Mays was one of the best safeties coming out of the draft. Yeah. Well, he's definitely taking Taylor Mays of USC. No, the Seahawks draft Earl Thomas. You're like, okay, Pete means business. He's not just going to go USC connective tissue. So let's even say he wants Sam Darnold. Why wouldn't they make the trade with the Jets? They know it's number 2 overall right now.
Yeah, that's true.
They could even say, you've got to give us number 2 overall and our pick that we gave you for Jamal Adams back this year and next. Much better than what the Bears are offering. I'll give you... Khalil Mack, you know, who's got a couple years left and he's really expensive.
What if he's one of the unnamed players?
Even with that, what are you going to do? Geno Smith for your 7-year-old quarterback and Bobby Wagner long in the tooth? With all due respect, he's getting older up there.
Russell Wilson was the third stringer when he became the starter, so who knows who the starting quarterback could be in Seattle?
Do you really believe what you're saying or playing devil's advocate?
All right, item number 2.
There you go. I'm sorry, you know, and you're gonna, and I totally understand what Dan is saying. I'm not questioning his information. I would never do that. I'm just saying that you're gonna hear the Bears are gonna let it. They're letting everybody know we tried, and they did. And tip your cap to them.
They tried.
Well
they
done.
Tried.
Good try, but it was never going to work with them because you can't flip a young quarterback back. You can't give him a top 5 pick to get one this year, and you can't give him a top 5 pick guaranteed you can get one next year because they don't have 2 first rounders, thanks to yours, to put together to get up that high because they've coughed up their one this year and next. They need one high enough right now to go get Russell Wilson's successor, which is why it works well with the Jets. And if the Jets do pull that off, if that ever happens, Bears fans will go crazy. And the answer from the Bears front office is, like, we don't have a 23-year-old quarterback to flip to him, and we don't have a number 2 overall pick to flip to him.
Right.
Facts.
Adam Schefter said on Get Up today he isn't 100% sure that Russell Wilson's going to be on the Seattle Seahawks come week one.
Yeah, it's possible that they still trade him. But for this deal? No way. No thank you.
No thank you. All right, speaking of quarterbacks who might get traded, remember John McClain came on this show, it was January, and said if Deshaun Watson is traded, he has a better chance of being the Texans head coach?
Yes.
John McClain now believes he expects the Texans to trade Deshaun Watson.
I don't blame him. I sense that the minute that he came on the show back January. Wow. And I don't say that other than knowing that John knows his football. He's been covering the city of Houston since the mid-70s. Well, that, to me, eventually, that's going to be the ultimate aspect of it. That's the ultimate. They're going to that door A, door B scenario I keep pointing to you, where door A is run it back and hope that he just comes back and just keep him there and he'll eventually come around. And then there's B, which is such an obscenely attractive offer to replenish everything and give the coach a quarterback that wants to be there right from the get-go and run it with your new organization that now has Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, they did pick up Tyrod yesterday for $10 million.
That's great. And so he can run he could come in and run the same system if Deshaun says, I'm not coming, right, better than A.J. McCarron.
I think so.
I mean, there's no doubt about that.
We haven't seen Tyrod play football in a year,
hey, man,
unfortunately.
I just think, you know, if you compare A.J. McCarron's game to
Tyrod Taylor's game to
Deshaun Watson's game, it makes sense that if Deshaun, that to me, you could sit there and go, well, they're planning on Deshaun being gone. To me, that means they're planning on Deshaun holding out. And if he does, Tyrod Taylor, it's your team.
Right. A couple other contract notes. Huge one yesterday. The Niners signed Trent Williams. Massive deal, Rich. Stays with San Francisco. 6 years, $138 million. Highest paid offensive lineman in NFL history. Man. $55 million guaranteed.
So the running game is going to be as stout as ever, right?
Absolutely.
Because as you know, like Jeff Wilson, Raheem Mostert, they just...
Whoever they threw guys, out there had 100
guys,
yards.
They are big guys more often than not. Juszczyk, they kept him.
Kept him.
All right. They come at you with all these angles because of how they run their offense. And it just... They slash and they hit and they're gone. So you got that. You got Ayuk and you've got Debo and you've got Kittle. All right? And they're going to get Nick Bosa back and Solomon Thomas back, and you're going to hopefully get that defense back in a way that you're putting it on the field. If Jimmy G does what Jimmy G did a couple years ago and can maybe even progress, don't sleep on the Niners to win the NFC West. Even with Arizona adding A.J. Green to... Yeah. Their team already having added J.J. Watt, even with the Rams going ahead and getting a new quarterback that we think is more suited for success here in Los Angeles and Matthew Stafford, even with Seattle, assuming they run it back with Russell Wilson. Yeah.
Best division football, right?
I think so. There's no question about it. Let's take a break. We got our friend Michael Wilbon when we come back here and anything else that might be left on your cutting room floor of your news update. We'll hit on the other side of Michael Wilbon of Pardon the Interruption. This is going to be great. Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial film debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Tomorrow on Netflix. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-8, 204-RICH, pardon me, is the number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Thrilled to have on this show. I saw what he had to say on Pardon the Interruption yesterday and on ESPN about his beloved Chicago Bears, and I said basically a text, please bestow us the honor of phoning into our program tomorrow. He said yes, and he is here. He is Michael Wilbon from Pardon the Interruption. How are you, sir?
I'm good, especially with that lead-in of Ball Brotherhood.
Yes.
Come on, Richie. I took it off in 1994. So it's I'm coming up on 30 years.
So that's when you tapped
of
out?
No hair.
You tapped
and
out?
And the notion that, you know, toupees and,
right.
you know, sowing, you know, seeds in your head. What are people talking about, man? I tell people, if I had known the reaction that I was going to get, particularly from women at the time, I would have shaved it all off when I was 11. This is not, you know, I mean, you know, guys who shave, not guys who look like Tony and go have to keep the side panels. If you shave it off, you're not, people aren't looking back. You don't see people who shave their heads, mature, grown men. I'm just talking about 20-somethings playing basketball. You don't see mature men go, oh, I lament the loss of my hair. Take it off, dude. Get rid of it.
Well, I think I saw the other day that Shaq, because he lost a bet, had to grow his hair in to see what it looked like. So what would you have?
See, that tells you. You lose a bet now. That's the only way you grow it back, if you're shaved.
So what would yours look like now? Would you have the horseshoe? Is that what it would look like?
Sure, I guess. I've never even tried it. I haven't tried one. I shave pretty much every other day. A radical departure is a fourth day, having 3 days of hair. I don't ever have it, so I don't know.
Well, you know, the person who's constantly after me to put hair on my head is the current Jackson State head coach dominating in the HBCU football world, Deion. Deion says that he was Deion said he was the comeback player of the year as soon as he put his hair back on. He says it's like his chance. That's what he called himself, the comeback player of the year.
That's hysterical.
All right, Michael, let's get to the matter at hand. Your two cents for this audience on the Andy Dalton signing by the Chicago Bears. Have the floor, sir.
It has nothing to do with Andy Dalton. The story of the Bears and signing of Andy Dalton has nothing to do with Andy Dalton. It has to do with, once again, the Bears are inadequate at the position of quarterback, which they've been, they've really been that since Jim McMahon. That's what they've been. I mean, don't anybody ever try to tell me that Jay Cutler mattered. I don't care if he made a Pro Bowl or not. He didn't, because he was so much less than even what he promised. I mean, if you remember, Jay Cutler used to say, my arm is stronger than John Elway's. So what, dude? So what? It's amazing that the signature, one of the signature franchises, the founding franchise of the NFL, just doesn't understand how to acquire the most important position in North American sports. Don't know how to do it. Don't know how to draft one, build one, trade for one, sign one, nothing. And so this general manager, how this guy, Ryan Pace, is allowed to even try to acquire one when he's the guy. You know what? Chicago, the most famous athlete in Chicago history, Rich, was passed over by another team, the Portland Trail Blazers, mm-hmm. even though they had Clyde Drexler. And they had a reason you could say, wait a minute, we sort of have, coming out of college, we think that Clyde Drexler, a guy who's a member of the Dream Team, a Hall of Famer, a Final Four member in college, and an NBA champion. We've got him, so we're not going to sort of duplicate. That's the logic there. That's not illogical. It didn't work, not to the tune of Jordan, but it didn't work. Ryan Pace not only passed over Patrick Mahomes, who was seen as the best player in the league today, he passed over Deshaun Watson in the same draft, picking higher. You don't have to move up. You just got to take one of them. That guy is entrusted to then continue on to fix the quarterback problem? And this is what he comes up with? I mean, the notion that they were going to get Russell Wilson was, to me, insane. I got a crying 13-year-old in my house who roots for the same team as his father. And every day he would come to me, Dad, we re-signed you know, Robinson at wide receiver. Doesn't that mean we're going to get Russ? No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean that. It means we're going to do the same. It means we're going to get Mike Phipps 30 years later, 40 years. What is it? 40 years, probably Mike Phipps. That's what we do. That's our move.
But,
and by the way, I'm not even saying that he could have gotten them. I'm just saying the notion he's going to go aggressively and take a big swing and offer the whole team. You know what you could have said 5 years ago? It was the 2017 draft, right? You could have just said, and with the so-and-so pick in the draft, I think it was third, the Chicago Bears take, fill in the blank, Deshaun Watson, Deshaun Watson. Fill in the blank, Patrick Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes. He didn't do either. He wouldn't got a guy who had started 11 times in college. And by the way, I don't think Mitch Trubisky's a bad quarterback, especially if he had a coach who wanted to coach him instead of wanting to make somebody fit the system or go out and get a statue, you know, who won a Super Bowl for Philadelphia a few years ago. The two of them, the combination of them, Rich, it's infuriating.
Yeah, I mean, you've said that before, Michael, and I want to pull on that string a little bit right here. Michael Wilbon from Pardon the Interruption, our friend from the Worldwide Leader in Sports. You've said that before on your last appearance that Nagy didn't want to coach Trubisky, doesn't want to coach him, didn't want to coach him, and yet he took the job knowing it was his job to fix him and won Coach of the Year by so doing. So what do you mean by that?
I mean, I've had Kansas City Chiefs players tell me to my face, and I'm not going to name them. These were off-the-record conversations. I probably shouldn't be mentioning it. A couple, 2 years ago, when they the Super Bowl, that they knew that he didn't want to coach him. It's not a secret. When I say didn't want to coach him, he had Patrick Mahomes as a redshirt. That's not the same skill set as coming to coach Trubisky. And everybody knows it. When I say it's an open secret, they're former Bears. And I don't mean just guys from 85. I mean they're recent former Bears who I run into, and they go, "Dude, geez, no, he doesn't want to coach this guy. He wants somebody with a different skill set." But this is not something that we do in mass media, Rich. We don't criticize the coaches too often. And on Sundays, the guys in the booth are either ex-coaches or quarterbacks who've had great relationships with their coaches. The coaches don't really get criticized in the NFL. They really don't. And this is not my own observation. This is me putting the reporter hat back on and just listening. And maybe a 10% observation, but 90% listening to people who are in the industry of football. Who knows?
Oh, I think we lost him right there. Want to see if we can get him back on?
He was spitting hot fire. I know the phone couldn't handle it.
I know the phone couldn't handle it. It melted down. You there, Michael, still? All right, there it goes. There it goes. You know, it's just like that scene from Airplane, you know, when the guy in the control tower pulls the plug, you know, as the plane's landing, and then plugs it back in. I think somebody just kicked the... Well, I think Ray Lewis just accused somebody from the Bears of kicking the phone line out. Remember Ray said that they turned the lights off because the Ravens were winning too much?
I think Ray really believes that.
Oh, Ray does believe it. Oh, Ray believes it. So let's see if Wilbon can get back on the phone line right here. Because, again, this is one thing, and once he does return, I will eventually give the pushback that I think the Bears would do if they were listening right now, which is we tried for Russell Wilson. What more do you want from us? Russell let it be known he wanted to come to us. We tried. That's the end of that. What else do you want from us?
Couldn't get it done.
I know. So, but as I pointed out, there's no shot of that happening in the first place. You there, Michael?
I'm here. I don't know what happened, Rich.
No, I think somebody
to pop, maybe Papa Bear said enough criticism of the franchise.
That's
he
right.
Loved
yeah, the McCaskey family just pulled the plug. But you were you were saying again that you've heard from people that Nagy didn't want.
Well, yes, and the proof is there. I mean, just look at the plays that were called. Look at how the offense ran in Trubisky's best games and his best time. Look at how disgusted he gets with what the plays called for him. Look at his own development. Look at what he was when he came into the league in the second year the Bears go 12-4. And I think he was 10-3 in that time. He missed a couple of games. So what? And this should not be treated like rocket science. It isn't rocket science. And there are too many people who know, and there are too many people who believe it, and there are too many people who know and have spent years and years and years and years in the NFL for whatever it is they do, and they know. So this is you know, this may be too much inside baseball around the rest of the country. In Chicago, it is not. And so now they've gone and they've replaced Trubisky. Essentially, they're going to bring him back too. There doesn't seem to be any sign of that.
Oh,
so what are they doing?
That would be something else if they brought him back. Michael Wilbon here on the Rich Eisen Show. And just to push back a little bit here, as you know, the Bears tried for Russell. They took their swing. We hear from our colleague Dan Patrick about, you know, three first rounders, two starters, some other
that
draft choices.
Insane, by the way.
Well, but even that though, you know, if I'm Seattle, I would have told him to forget it too, with a coach who's pushing 70, and Geno Smith as the alternative that's currently sitting right there for the moment, and you know, other alternatives that are around out there are not even close to Russell Wilson, and you can't even get up to close to the top five from their position because they've already coughed up their first round draft choices this year. Next, you can't even package what the Bears give them with what they already had.
They don't have the asset.
So they don't have. So it's just not a match. Certainly, in a way that say the Jets or Miami or you know. That it's not a match in the same way that the other teams.
It's not a match to acquire him now.
No,
I'm not angry about now. This is retroactive anger. They had a pick, Rich. They could have just walked to the mic and said the Chicago Bears with the third pick in the draft select Deshaun Watson. There's no pushback on that. This is the same guy. This is the same GM. They could have walked to the mic and said, the Chicago Bears is the third pick in the draft, select Patrick Mahomes. No, they weren't going to get Russell Wilson this time. That was a fraud. That was just garbage. They weren't going to come close. They don't have the assets. And to tear up the whole team, what kind of team would Russell Wilson be quarterbacking if they had given all that away to get him?
I agree with you. I never thought it was a fit from the beginning. But that said, though, you know, that's you're already hearing from the Bears in many other places that they're definitely talking to members of our profession to say we tried and we didn't even ask for it. That's what Peter Schrager said in hour number one. Someone from the Bears told him we didn't even ask that it was his agent who put it out there to Adam Schefter that he'd like to go to Chicago. And as soon as that happened, we pounced. We tried to make it happen. They even had some meeting in North Dakota, apparently, at Trey Lance's pro day. And they try to make it happen. So the guy who he tried to rectify the mistake that you said, the original sin, I guess to use your analogy here.
There's no rectifying that. It set the franchise back at least 10 years. It's going to be 10 years unless they come up with something or Andy Dalton, you know, has a, a Trent Dilfer season. It's possible. He's a veteran guy who's got a better than 500 record.
Brad Johnson.
This is not about Dalton.
Like Brad Johnson. He could do the
Brad Johnson.
Johnson.
That's another one. That's right. That's another good point, Rich. But the point is not that they failed to get him now. They were never getting him now. They don't have the assets to get him now. This points out that no matter what they do, the franchise cannot get a quarterback. Rich, how many Pro Bowl, and I haven't looked this up, I guess Cutler had one Pro Bowl appearance, didn't he? I think he did. And Jim McMahon must have had at least one. I mean, what are we talking about? Jim McMahon's best season was 35 years ago, and we're still dining off that. I saw Jim in Arizona not too long ago, and I just said, "You got eligibility left," and he just started laughing. This is 100 years, and you got like four quarterbacks that you'd want to pick on your roster.
So what would be the fix for you, Michael? Because you're clearly giving a voice to a ton of Bears fans that still can't get over what Ryan Pace did atop the draft in Philadelphia those years ago. So what would be the solve? Blow everybody out? Start from scratch?
Yeah, I think so. I think you have to have people who. And by the way, like there's some venom being directed at the McCaskies. I don't have any of that. I mean, they basically say this is not, you know, we try to hire football people to do this. We're not, he's not meddlesome. He's not meddlesome. George's not meddlesome at all. But the it may have to be, okay, let me hire someone who can tell me who to hire. Because this is not working. this isn't working, and it doesn't. You know, I thought, okay, when you go 12-4, and even after you lose a game that, you know, well, how can the coach and GM help that? I don't know. Maybe have a better kicker, but I'm not going to blame them for that. The double doink game. I thought, okay, this seems to be really headed in the right direction. Well, it's not headed in the right direction, Rich. And it hasn't been headed in the right direction since they fired Lovie Smith. They fired Lovie Smith coming off a 10-6 season. In which, to me, the solution then was to call Norv Turner and say to Lovie, we are going to fire you. Here's your offensive coordinator. We're going to give you the best guy in the game today, or one of the three best, to finish this thing that you can't quite finish, Super Bowl appearance, NFC title game appearance. Fired him off 10-6. How's that gone since? So you have to have people at the top of this, football operations people. I'm not talking about the owner. There's no toxic owner. There's not that. He wants to win. But wanting to win and knowing how to win are two different things. But I think, you know, I've gotten, God, the number of texts generated yesterday, you know, inside baseball, Rich, Tony and I had pretty much decided on what was going on PTI and taped it when the Andy Dalton news came in. And I did not want to go back into the show. And I said, all you guys are going to do, my producers, is make me angry and make me nuts and get me in trouble.
Yeah, but that's 5 good minutes, Michael, at least.
Yeah, it is, Rich. And they knew what they were doing, right? You know, and they just turned and walked away from the fire, from the brush fire that I, of course, you know, was happy to throw gasoline on. So, but let me just tell you this.
Yes.
So of all the people, Rich, I buy tickets to go back to Bears games. I don't go as a credential. I'm not a credential reporter covering the Bears. I don't do that anymore. I buy tickets because my son says, oh, Dad, we got to go. I've never seen Tom Brady in my whole life in person. Your whole life, you're 11. What are you doing? We fly back. I buy tickets to see Brady 2 years ago, last time we could go. Dad, can we go see Patrick Mahomes? Yeah, this is going to make me angry, but we'll fly out and see Patrick Mahomes play against the Bears. So we do. I do this every year. I love doing it. But you know what? Before I die, I would like to see a competent quarterback. That's all. And I don't think the guys there can create that at the top of the football operation, not the owner. I'm talking about Ryan Pace. And I'm talking about Matt Nagy. And these guys are not dumb. They are not stupid. They are not. They are professional football people. But they don't seem to be able to get this right. And I'm talking about whoever they could have taken and whoever they did take. How's it working? Bottom line, sports is the greatest bottom line thing. How is it working? I don't want to hear the excuses. I don't want to hear from PR. I don't want to hear spin. I don't want to hear what they tried. How many teams have signed quarterbacks in the last 30 years, Rich? Mm. Almost all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Almost all of them. I mean, I live in a city where Joe Gibbs won 3 Super Bowls with 3 different quarterbacks.
Yep.
He went and got Doug Williams from another league. But again, we don't really... You know, players get criticized and coaches get criticized for game day decisions if things don't work out. But the overall overarching kind of criticism that says, what are you doing? That, you know, that goes insulated for the most part.
Michael, thank you for responding to my text amongst the no doubt avalanche of texts. Have you come on this show? I always appreciate it.
I was going to forward you a few last night, and I decided from many people that you know.
Yes, I'm sure.
That you have covered, but I decided to spare you our angst out in the great Midwest. And so I'm happy to come on and spend some more with you, my dear friend.
Always appreciate that. Best to Mr. Tony, please, and everybody else
Absolutely.
On the set. Thank
All right,
you.
Be good now.
We'll chat again soon. There you go. They broke the mold. One of my favorites, Michael Wilbon.
Dude, the best.
Not about Andy Dalton, mind you. No, but I know what he's saying. It's just get it done. Doesn't want to hear about anything other than here's the quarterback of the future.
Make it happen.
I would love to spring forward. You know, the other day we were springing forward. I'd love for Bears fans to spring forward and see what do they do 20th overall. I know Ashton Kutcher was pointing out they need to fix the line. They got to do this. They got to do that. Trey Lance is sitting there 20th overall. You know the general manager was there looking at him.
Make the move, man.
And go put him in that quarterback room. But for the moment, he didn't want to hear it.
I don't think he's going to be there at 20.
So let's take a break. When we come back, the best player in NBA who's finally being recognized as such had a soundbite after a phenomenal game last night that I want to bring to your attention in case you missed it. That's next as we finish up this Wednesday show.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100% you need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
That is low-key one of the best shows on TV.
Barry? Yeah, we just saw Bill Hader for our Peacock segment as our radio audience is back. And Bill Hader, just to bring everything full circle, TJ Jefferson, he got his start on Punk'd, right?
Yeah, it was his, that day he and I did a little green room interview and gave me the whole story about how his Punk'd almost went kind of left.
Which Punk'd was he on?
I forget. I'd have to rewatch
again,
it.
Because again, each Punk'd episode required the use of actors to play the roles that were required to Punk somebody,
right? Yeah,
they
were called field agents.
Field agents.
So Bill Hader, and you know, there was a few people of note who really got
the... Dax Shepard, you gave me the list.
Yeah.
Whitney Cummings, BJ Novak.
From The Office.
Caitlin Olsen of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Andrew Santino.
Yvonne Dine up here.
Yeah, so Bill's thing was, I can't remember the exact, it was a rapper, and he was driving a limo... And something was happening, and the cops were pulling him over. And, you know, of course he's going to pull over. And the guys in the back's like, yo, you can't pull over. He's like, well, the cops are behind me. I got to pull over. He's like, yo, you can't pull over. We got guns on us. So Bill's like freaking out. He's sitting there like, I don't know what to do. Like, I got producers in my ear. I got these guys like, bro, you can't pull over. And he pulled over and, you know, the whole thing. Wow. He said he almost crapped himself.
Though. That show was funny as hell.
If you're a struggling actor in Los Angeles, better to do that than, I guess, what Barry's doing.
For sure.
What Bill Hader's currently doing is Barry, right?
But, I mean, there's so many people that kind of got their start, and it doesn't really get a lot of recognition how many people started on Punk, but yeah, it was a phenomenon.
So let's finish up. What a great show. We've had a fun show so far, and let's finish up strong here. This soundbite from Damian Lillard after he dropped 50, dished 10 assists coming back against the Pelicans in Portland on Tuesday night, down 17 with just mere ticks under 6 minutes to go. They're down 17. He dropped 20 in the fourth quarter.
Unreal.
It's just the latest instance of Damian Lillard doing something that the rest of the country is either not tuned into in real time. And if he played in Los Angeles or he played in New York or he played in Chicago, just name so-called sports hotbeds in this country, he would be a much more household name than what he has made himself into. One of my favorite players of all time. I think he's my current favorite player in the NBA.
Yeah, it's a good one.
It's just a joy to watch him. Just Dame Time hit. It's 6 minutes to go last night, Dame Time, when he taps his wrist. And you've got to, just like Curry, watch him as soon as he passes half court into the front court, because he can launch it anytime.
Yep. Anywhere, anytime.
And last night, once again, down 17 with 5:56 to go. Nobody saw another 50-point performance and a comeback win coming. And this is when CJ McCollum's back from injury. He's having an up and down night. And Damian Lillard stepped to the fore and then had this to say. I guess was it Dwayne Wade who asked him the question?
I think he was talking to Dwayne
Wade the NBA after the game.
Okay.
The set, yeah. This is what he had to say.
You know, I wasn't a highly touted middle school player, high school player, or a college player. You know, I had to do my work behind the scenes, you know, like you did. I had to earn my way. And I didn't know that I was going to ever get the credit for it or ever get the results for it. So I know what it's like to be unknown and to, you know, not have the lights on you and to want to be seen and want a scholarship to a big school and things like that. I was behind the scenes doing the work. So I don't forget those steps that it took for me to get here. So, you know, even though I got a family and I got all these commercials and, you know, these endorsements, I don't forget the thing that makes all of those things possible, which is the work, the discipline, the humility, the compassion, you know, all of those things that I know I bring as a person. I know that's a part of why I've been able to get a lot of the things that I've gotten. So if I get away from doing what got me here, I'm doing my family and everybody else around me a disservice. So I make sure that I stay true to that first. And the more that I do that, you know, things just keep coming. And I've gotten results from that my whole life. So it's, why would I become 30 and see the results that I got and go away from it? You know, so I've gotten stronger in those things. I've gotten more discipline. I work harder. I work smarter. You know, I love on my people harder. I do all those things at a higher level, and it just keeps improving everything else for me.
I'm glad that was on TNT last night so the country could see what he did. And then on that remarkable post-game show on NBA on TNT, so everyone could hear that. And I didn't hear it last night, telling my children to go to sleep already because they're still off on their clocks because of this craziness of moving clocks forward. But I will definitely play that for them later on today. As everybody out there, everyone out there needs to know about Damian Lillard, obviously. But outside of that, hear what he has to say about believing in self. Believing in self. Making the most of opportunities. Weber State to sixth overall selection to Hall of Fame, where he's going to go with his 12th 50-point game of his career that ties LeBron, seventh on the all-time list. And but the message of I'm true to myself despite making myself into a huge superstar. I'm who I am, and I understand what made me get to this level, and if I give up on that, I'm not the same person. I'm not the same leader. I'm not the same teammate. I'm not the same husband. I'm not the same father. I'm not the same family member. I'm not the same spokesperson. I'm not the same Damian Lillard. I love this guy and what he stands for. And I root for the Blazers because of it. Fact.
And Rich, there's a top high school player named Mikey Williams, one of the best high school players in the United States right now. And he put out a statement or a post that said he wasn't going to his prom. I told someone the other day, I'm not going to the prom. I'm going to the gym. What is the prom going to do for me? And Dame Lillard heard this and he responded, simply, bro, go to the prom. Like, enjoy yourself, enjoy your life, put in the work, but don't sacrifice.
Don't forget.
Don't forget. Yeah, still have fun, still be a kid. He was like, go to the prom, man. You can still go to the gym later.
Because it rounds you out as a person, and that's the other thing, too, about him is I just love it. He's a person.
Yeah.
I love it when he calls into the show. Yeah. I love watching him play, and I love the message that I'm going to be able to show my kids thanks to him. I want to thank Peter Schrager. I want to thank Frank Vogel. And I want to thank Ashton Kutcher and you for helping him appear on the show today, TJ. And I want to thank Michael Wilbon. And I want to thank Ryan Pace of the Bears for making that all happen today.
Wow.
We'll take you to brother from another coming up next.